I wanted to share just a couple thoughts with you, and I'm leveraging the fact that we rotate because I'm going to share some of the same verses that I shared last week, but there's only a few of you that were here last week, and you just, I'm going to test you in your long suffering to bear with hearing the same scriptures, a few of them over again. But I was thinking about old covenant individuals or Old Testament individuals and the men and women of faith, and I just ask a question, what was a commonality that we see from them? And there's many, but I'm just going to see what. So if you think of the likes of Abraham and Joseph, Jacob, David, and then some of the kings that served the Lord, what was one, some of the things that you would see from them, their faith lived out? What do you see? A common themes? Anything that comes to your mind? Perseverance, that's a good one. It's a very good one. I was thinking of, and there's many, what was that, Frank? Hearing and obeying, that is absolutely true. Yeah. I was thinking of a common thing that you see. All of those things are great, and as I said, there's many, but I was just thinking of a common thing that we see with so many of them is that they called on the name of the Lord. And I love that. And I've always loved reading the stories where you would see them call on the name of the Lord. And that was the way that their faith was lived out in a lot of ways. I mean, their faith was lived out hearing and obeying, being quick to obey, whoever said that one as well. And just different ways we see their faith, the reality of their faith, and it was different then because it was under the old covenant. They didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as we do today through Jesus Christ. But the faith, the way they lived out their faith is still a testimony for us today. And I shared about this last week, and I shared specifically on this thought in Hebrews chapter 3, where the writer is quoting from the Old Testament, and he's speaking of the Israelites, and this verse struck me. Maybe before I go there, I was shared this verse from Jeremiah chapter 9. And let me read that one to you, and then I'm going to touch on that one in Hebrews 3. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, it says, "Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, and that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord." He says there specifically the part that struck me in what I was talking about last week, and just touch on maybe briefly again, but a little bit more, is verse 24. He says that, you know, there's many things we can boast in. And in a way, this was the whole battle that Israel went through. I was reading this morning in Romans, where Paul is talking to some of the Israelites, and he was or speaking about the difference. And he said, you know, they're seeking to establish their own righteousness. They're seeking to do things in their own strength. And in a way, you could sort of, at the end of it all, it can be can almost be a boasting because we've done it. You know, I struggled with this, but then I just worked really hard and I overcame that and I did this. And, you know, you hear even now in the world today, oftentimes, well, you just need to believe in yourself and, you know, you can do it. You can do anything you put your mind to, all these different things. And in the end, in a lot of ways, it can ultimately, if we have success, and we all know that there's only one that can change the heart. Maybe we can quit one bad habit, perhaps, by great willpower, but there's no changing the heart except through Jesus Christ. And the power of his Holy Spirit is the only one that can give someone a new heart and make someone a new creation. And this one, to me, when I read this, it really hit me. It says that we could boast in the fact that we understand and know him. And what I said last week is, you know, we often talk about knowing him, and that is eternal life, is to know him. But what really struck me, and what the Lord has really challenged me, and again this week, even more It feels it's just a really something the Lord, I think, wants me to come to learn is this understanding him, and specifically in Hebrews chapter 3, where the writer says, quotes this passage, and in verse 10 and 11, this is speaking of the Israelites. It says, "Therefore I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." And what I was talking about, what really struck me is, you know, we can think of it then and say, well, they didn't know his ways, so they didn't enter the promised land. That's what he was speaking about. But what struck me is it's very true today that if we don't understand the Lord's ways, we will not have rest. And I have been experiencing this in reality in my life as over the last months and even the last weeks, it has seemed like things just continue to be very, life is very busy, and just a lot of really, really stretching my faith of not being able to see how I can accomplish everything that is before me. And when I'm looking at that and I'm battling with it, I don't have rest. But when I get into my day and I'm in that battle, and then the times where I can get away and I have a quiet time with the Lord has been speaking to me like, Tim, don't forget why I'm allowing all these things. Why I'm allowing this. Like in my mind, all I'm thinking about, and I even said this last Sunday, I said, you guys will probably remember this if you were here, I said, you know what, I woke up last Sunday morning and all I could think was, I need a vacation. I just need to get away. And I was like, you know, the reality of that is it's a false hope. There's nothing wrong with a vacation, but if we think somehow going away is going to solve our problems, it's a lie. True rest is only found through faith in Jesus Christ. He who has believed, or she who has believed, is the one who will enter the rest. And what I, in my mind, know, and I said this last Sunday, we can all quote these verses, and I can quote them. Maybe it's just me, but I'll share it in case I believe perhaps there's others that could say, yeah, I understand the struggle. You know, I can quote the verses in James chapter 1 where it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance." We know these verses, and there's a number of them, and they're wonderful, wonderful verses. But the head knowledge is very different than the reality of working out in our life where we can truly embrace it and actually come to the place where I can live it out and have rest because I understand, and I've not just understood it in my head, but I've come to embrace it in my heart and say, you know what? I get it, Lord. It's like when we sang that song, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the place that you will build for me?" And I was thinking, that really struck me. And I was thinking, that's from Isaiah 66. And it says, "To this one who I will look, to him who trembles at my word." And I was thinking of another passage of David, where we know this one in 2 Samuel chapter 7. David's desire is near the end of his time, and his desire is, I want to build a house for God. And then the prophet, I think it was Nathan or Nathaniel or whatever, whoever it was, comes to him with the word of the Lord and says, it's not you. You're not the one that's going to build the house for me. Your son will build it. But he says, in that he says, especially I think it is in the New King James, it says, "I will make you a house." And in a way, you almost get a picture of the sanctifying work of God. There it was natural, but in us, we know it's spiritual. And he says, "I took you from shepherding the sheep and I made you king of Israel." And this is a picture in a way, as I think about it now, it's a picture of what God wants to do in our lives. If we can come to embrace his ways, and it says, remember what it said, "Let him who boasts, boasts of this, that he understands and knows me." And the understanding element is the understanding of the gospel and embracing it in our lives. And this is the part where it's very personal for me, because I do feel like God continues to test me. Lord, or, you know, you have the head knowledge, and perhaps you can even share it on a Sunday morning. You can share about it, but Tim, can you live it? Can you walk it out? Where if I let work be so intense, and then I come home and, you know, I said to Whitney last night, this is the first child we've had, and now it's number five, where we've not had my in-laws here. And I just said to her last night, I said, man, I miss your parents. I sit here right now, I could just start weeping. Last night, I said to Whitney yesterday, I said, well, we got two options. We're actually going to have to clean the house, or we'll just light a match, because it's insane. And so I literally sit there and I make a to-do list. I said, okay, I'll get the kids down. I'll wash Gertie because she went and rolled in poop again. And then I'll clean the kitchen, and I got to do laundry because the kids peed the bed. And then today's Whitney's birthday. And I was like, okay, I wanted to make breakfast, so I'm going to make that last night. Lord, I can't. There's only one way, is only by your grace and your strength. And then with the four kids, it to me is overwhelming. But if we look at it that way, I lose sight of why God allows that. Why is he doing that? He's doing it because he wants to change me. He wants to change us. He wants to make us a house where his Holy Spirit would dwell. And we know that. And it's true. His Holy Spirit dwells in us, but it's not just so that he can say he dwells there. Lord, make me, you know, we can pray, Lord, make me a father that you want me to be. Make me the husband you want me to be. Make me the brother in Christ to my brothers and sisters that you want me to be. And that it's like, okay, I'm praying in accordance with his will. I think he's going to say, he says, yeah, okay. But just for me to come to a place, and this is the inward battle, but then I could say, and I quoted this scripture, or read this scripture last time, where Moses is crying out. He says, Lord, don't send us in. If you're not going with us, don't send us in. And he gets into this dialogue with the Lord, and he says, Lord, you said I found favor in your sight. Lord, if I found favor in your sight, then let me see you. Let me know. But this is the part that I love. He says, let me know your ways that I may know you. And that's the part, you know, we can say, oh, I want to know him. And it's true. It's true. Eternal. Paul says, there's nothing greater. I'd count it all loss for the sake of knowing him. But I don't want to forget what he says after that I may be conformed. What does he say? To conform to his death, that I could attain to the resurrection from the dead. And I just share, this is the part that God is so, I think, challenging me with. Do you understand that? And not just understand it in head knowledge, but can you embrace it? Really come to embrace it, that this is the way I'm going to work. And it's not like so yesterday, Whitney and I talked, and I just said, you come to the end of yourself. And I love this. It comes back to that thing that they called on the name of the Lord. And so I just said, and let's pray. And so we prayed together, and I just poured out my heart to the Lord, crying out to him like, Lord, it's a lot. I need your help to do it. But more than all of the getting things done, I just was like, Lord, remembering what I'd said last Sunday and the verses I read, I was like, Lord, help me to know your ways. Help me to understand that and to have rest in the midst of this time. Let it produce a work in my life as you work in different things. In my circumstances, I can rattle them off and it seems a lot. But the reality is, compared to what others are going through, I know it's small. But in each of our circumstances, and whatever they are, God is working. But he wants us, I think the other part that was in my heart is like, this is the gospel. It's so easy today, even for our youth, and that as you come to this wrestle of coming to know the Lord, and this, like, do I believe, and all these things. And I was thinking about it as I read this morning in Romans chapter 10 and 9 and 10, where he talks about, you know, the difference. It says they seek to establish their own righteousness. But two times in there, he talks about calling on the name of the Lord. And it struck me, I'm like, man, that is the part we need to understand. As you sit perhaps and you wrestle with this faith, of coming to faith in Jesus Christ, and what does it mean, and do I believe, and all these questions that battle through your mind. The danger is, and the enemy can sit there, and you know what the enemy wants us, one of the things the enemy wants us to do is be trapped in the same trap the Israelites were in, of thinking, well, I'm a good person. I mean, I don't dress the way the people of the world dress. I don't talk the way they talk. I don't do this. I don't do that. I go to church. I read my Bible. If that's the mentality, that is the old covenant, where it's all the things that we do, and then it's boasting in our own things. And what he talks about in there, he says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord is the one who's saved. And that's what God desires. He's the one that will do the changing. He'll make us holy by the power of his Holy Spirit. He will sanctify us from the inside out, so it's no longer about the outward actions. And that's how we're justified. We're justified because we believe, and our faith works its way out, because in the midst of troubles and in the midst of trials, we are like the old covenant individuals that we can look to as an example of faith, who call on the name of the Lord. And because we call on his name in faith, it says we'll never be put to shame, that we will be saved. And that's where I, and in that, I was thinking this morning, you know, when we talk about knowing him, John, in 1 John, he says, in there he says, little children, he says, you have, I'm going to read that because it just struck me. 1 John chapter 2, you don't have to flip there, but if you want, it's in verse 12. He says, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. It's a contrast of children and fathers and young men. And you see the children, your sins are forgiven. The young men, hey, you've overcome the evil one. What does it say of fathers? It says, because you've come to know him. And we come to know the Lord in a deeper way through going through circumstances, through calling on his name in the midst of those circumstances. And this is, if we can come to embrace it, this is how our roots go down deep. And it's, this is knowing him, but it's understanding his ways as well. And that's the part that's challenged me. And it's real naturally. This morning I wrote a birthday card for Whitney, and I just said, you know what? The card was pretty on point. It was, you know, life is a lot more, it was just going through, like, life is a lot more, didn't say this, a lot more changing. Like, you know, you have this picture of marriage. It's all romance. It's just great. And it was just kind of going, no, life looks a lot more like this. But in the midst of it, I'm thankful I have you. And I just wrote in there, I have you and Jesus. But I said, you know, this is reality as our life changes again with the addition of Charlie. I see how my love for you grows. And it grows in a different depth, a different reality as you go through these things. And marriage, God uses marriage as an example. So we know that it's true with him. As we walk through circumstance, I see, Lord, this is an opportunity where I can let my roots go down deep. And I want to know you. I want to understand your ways. And I know these are all things that we've talked about so many times before. But it's just been very real for me lately to see how, in a measure, there's a fair amount of head knowledge. But it's not all embraced in the heart. And that's what God is working on. Simply put, God is working in my heart to say, do you embrace this truth? Are you willing to live it? And not just share it or read it, but are you willing to live it and to understand my ways, that I desire to make you holy? And it's going to be taking you through the furnace the same way I purify silver and gold. And will you hold on to me in the midst of it? And then that's a challenge for all of us. And if you're further down the path and you can sit and say, you know, praise God, I've come to that reality and come to that, I would say, then praise the Lord. And if you're where maybe you can sympathize with me and say, I understand that, and I understand the battle of knowing the verses, but living it out and being able to truly rejoice in the midst of all those circumstances, let us continue to encourage one another. Let us continue to press on. Let us continue to build up one another's faith as we go through these different things. But, you know, just a reminder perhaps, and let us be those who call on the name of the Lord, just like we see from the Old Testament and like what Paul encourages us through his letters about this is the genuine faith that God is looking for. It's real. It's not the doing of different things, but it is a personal relationship about calling on his name and finding strength through him and knowing that it's actually in our weakness that his strength is perfected. Encourage you with that.